week, we are having another gardening call-in show. Joining us this morning is Aletha Johnson, who will give us some of her experiences with container gardening. So good morning to you, and thanks so much for being here.
Good morning, Maria. Thank you.
And my understanding is you are kind of new to this.
Yes, I used to garden in the ground and in raised beds, and I had a few container gardens, but they were they would be single plants like shrubs, or I'd have some mixed plantings of annual flowers that I got from the nursery. But I would do my other gardening. I tried to do perennials and some vegetables and things in raised beds. And then I moved to town where I have very limited space, so I had to rethink my whole approach to gardening. I have a really great sunny location, so it's ideal for a garden, but I'm a renter, so I felt I needed to have it be mobile, things that I could move around. And also, this is my second season living in the apartment, and originally I had the idea that I was going to do sort of an eclectic collection of containers that I would be salvaging around a little bit, garage sailing or whatever, and finding fun, funky containers and planting in them. But those kinds of containers, some of them can work for a very limited use, like rubber boots, for example. I've been planting in them, and it works, but it's such a limited space that plants don't really thrive in there. And one of the biggest problems that I've had is with watering. It's fine. Gardening in containers is fine, even small containers, when everything is very wet all the time. But when we have these sunny stretches that we've had, I'd find myself home. I'd had to run home on, you know, water before I leave, run home on my lunch break, water as soon as I got home. And with some containers, it just didn't seem to be enough. And I've always felt that's one of my personal weaknesses, is knowing how much or how little to water, and which sounds like a funny problem to have in Ketchikan, but really we're either getting too much from the rain, but when it's depending on us, then I find that I tend to water too little. And so I took a master gardening class last fall, and just really for my own edification, to see what I could learn to improve my gardening. I really wanted to do vegetable gardening, and that's what I found. Most people in the class, when asked what they most wanted to learn, was vegetable gardening. And I haven't had a lot of success with vegetable gardening, but I thought I'm just going to approach it as like a scientist and just experiment and take this pressure off myself to be highly successful and productive with everything I do, and just go ahead and start trying different things and having fun and seeing what works. And one of the things that I learned in that program was the conventional wisdom is to put a layer of like styrofoam peanuts or gravel or something in the bottom of your container. But I learned not a lot, but a little about how water actually drains, how it actually runs in the earth, and also about roots, what happens with them. So I had to rethink my container planting. Now, because I found that the water doesn't actually run through the soil that way, drain through that easily that way. So it's better to fill your container with your potting soil, whatever soil you're going to use, and try to mix it so it is all the same material, all the same consistency, as far out as you think your roots are going to want to go. Because the roots are going to, when they hit a different kind of, they'll be fine in, you know, your perfect little soil that you put in the middle. But if they're trying to grow deep and you've got a different kind of soil there, or they're trying to spread and you've got something different there, they'll just stop right there. So these are the kinds of things I learned, and that's a little bit challenging when you look at the size of your container, and maybe it's a little deeper than you want, or maybe it's a little wider than you want, and so that makes a different kind of a challenge. But So that's one of the things that I learned that I now apply is to fill a container with the same kind of dirt from top to bottom and all the way out. And as far as the watering thing, I started looking around online for self-watering containers, and I found earth boxes. Some people may be familiar with earth boxes, but it wasn't anything I'd ever heard of before. And it's the self-watering concept where you have the soil is down on a grid and you've got some pockets that are packed with earth, and then you put the soil down on top of this grid and there's a reservoir underneath and a little water feeding tube that goes down the side. So as long as you keep the reservoir full, the plants are taking up the moisture that they need. So I got pretty excited about that because I thought, well, that solves my problem. I'm always trying to figure out how much or how little water my plants need. And because they have a drain hole just at the base of the soil level, if it's raining, you don't really have to worry about that either because it'll just drain right out at that level. And so that was my starting point, my starting understanding of that anyway. But to get one of those earth boxes here, I think it was like $59, and then I was going to have to pay shipping, which was included the whole thing, but it just was cost prohibitive. It didn't make sense because I don't remember what the area is, but it's not a huge area in one of these earth boxes. So then I just happened to see a link to a do-it-yourself self-watering container, and then of course, as you know, when you get on the internet, one thing leads to another, and so I just kept looking at these different videos and pictures about how to make your own.
So is that what you did? You ended up making all your own containers?
Yes. Well, for one thing, I prefer to buy locally, and I want to be prudent. I don't want to spend more money than I really have to, you know, for my garden. I found out that if you buy some, or just happen to have around the house, some kind of Rubbermaid totes, the size that I get are 18 gallons, and you can use a Sterlite or Rubbermaid or whatever. I prefer Rubbermaid because of the way it's designed. It's a little bit heavier duty, and the lid works really well, not only for, it makes it a little more aesthetically pleasing because the rim of the lid can stay on the top and sort of give it a finished look.
So you cut in the top to give it an opening.
Yep. I'll describe how you make one. So you take a, well, I'll just talk about a Rubbermaid, but just, you know,
whatever brand you choose, whatever.
Exactly. So take your Rubbermaid tote with the lid. Put the lid onto the container, and there's a ridge around it, like a rim. So you are going to use the inner part of that to drop down on top of a grid that you make, or a spacers that you put at the bottom of the container. You're going to drop that lid down, and that's going to be your grid for soil. And so then before you drop it down, though, what you do is you drill a bunch of holes in the top and cut out a semicircle in the corner, and that's going to be for your drain pipe to fit down. Then you drill a hole, use a utility knife or something, and cut out a hole that's maybe 4 inches in diameter, 4, 6, whatever looks right. You're going to use something like a piece of perforated drain pipe or an old plastic pot that's got holes in it or something, because you're going to, and it's make that about 4 or 5 inches tall. And that, so your grid, when you drop it down, that is going to stick up through it. And then you've got all these holes there that allow for drainage. And you've got your drain pipe that runs down the side, and you just cut some PVC pipe for that, an angle cut on the bottom so it doesn't sit flush on the bottom. Otherwise, your water wouldn't be able to go down into your reservoir. And just leave a little bit sticking up at the top. I put perforated drain pipe. I just cut that for spacers, like 4 inches long, and put them cut side down, and drop that. Then I cut that top out, After I've drilled all the holes and cut the holes I want, I don't recommend trying to cut your holes after you cut the lid, and then drop that down. Make sure that you put a drain hole on the side, just right at the level of that grid, and then pack that container at the bottom, pack that with your soil, and then fill your container up till about 2 inches from the top with your potting soil that you're going to use. And then take this, I followed the EarthBox planting directions, so they recommend putting some lime in there. So at about 2 inches from the top, you sprinkle some lime and maybe stir that in a little bit, and then add another couple of inches of soil. Maybe heap it even a little bit because it's going to settle. And then put a trough in the middle, depending. If you're going to plant smaller plants on either side of your fertilizer, because what you're going to do is you're going to put some granulated fertilizer in that trough, and then just put a little soil over the top and kind of tamp that down. So you can't plant in that area. Depends on what kind of plant you're going to put in there. For example, if you do a zucchini, which is going to turn into a huge plant and it needs its own earth box, then you will put it on one side and plant your zucchini in the middle on the other side. And that way, those roots are drawing up the moisture, and the fertilizer is just kind of releasing slowly. And the one thing I do different than earth boxes, they have a cover, this plastic cover that you put over the top, and then you put little X's in it, and you put your seeds or your seedlings into those places. And I think those are to keep the weeds down and to conserve moisture. That would be especially important in dry places like Arizona or something like that, where you'd need that. In Ketchikan, I was concerned about having plastic just sitting on the surface. So I started out that way, and then I ended up removing it because we get such heavy rainfall. And my containers are out in the open right now. That's something I want to talk about. If there's time, I'll talk a little bit about what I've learned from doing this. So I have had phenomenal success in these containers. The zucchinis I have a zucchini plant in one, and I have some yellow crookneck squash. I got these seedlings from my friend Bridget, and I planted one in each container. And I think I planted some lettuces or something that, you know, would come out eventually as those plants got bigger. And they have they're huge. They just exploded, and I've had tons of squashes off of those two plants.
So these containers that you're using, how deep are they?
Well, let's see.
Use a small container, or do you need a really deep container for success?
Good question. I think the recommended depth from my master gardening class, you really want 12 inches minimum of soil, 12 to 14 inches, depending
on the plant.
I don't recommend growing root vegetables in these anyway. You want things that are going to bear a lot of fruit for the amount of space that they take up. So things like cucumbers and the squashes and even things like celery and lettuces that you can just kind of keep picking the stalks or the leaves off as you need them, and they'll just keep producing. Things like that.
So you make your own. Are there local things that people, if they don't want to make their own, I mean, would you be successful just using containers that are, say, deep enough that you can purchase, or do you really need to have that grate in the bottom to make it work?
Well, I have a variety of containers that I grow in. These are just the containers that have given me the most phenomenal success. I mean, I grew in the same place last year, and I had Swiss chard, rainbow chard, last year. The chard that I grew this year was it was double the size in no time. And I pulled it because it was going to bolt, and I kept holding it back. And finally, I just let it, you know, just took it out. But I had grown that last year and picked leaves off and everything, and I had felt pretty good about my success. And that was just a round pottery kind of glazed pottery container. So when I saw the difference, to me, it was just, but you know, you, I have all different kinds of containers going on. I've got a bathtub that I've got, herbs and some peas. I put a tomato cage in there, and the peas grow up the side of the container, and I thought, well, it's not the same. I might try to convert that bathtub, if I even keep it, I might try to convert that into a similar type of a self-watering situation. But I went ahead and put the troughs in and the self and the granulated fertilizer in the troughs like I had done, which is not something I had tried before, and it seems to be successful. I mean, fertilizing here is pretty important because of all the rain, it's constantly washing nutrients out of the soil. And I'm not an expert by any means. I consider myself a beginner, and I'm just taking the experimental approach just frees me up. And thinking of it as a hobby, but I really do. I have grown more food in my little garden than I can comfortably eat. I have to kind of work at it to use it up. I mean, which is a good thing. It's a nice problem to have. I couldn't feed a family, and I wouldn't want to have to depend on it. But it's been serving me really well.
Been good. A reminder, this is a call-in show. If you have questions, or maybe you yourself are a container gardener who has some tips, you can give us a call, 225-9655 or 1-800-557-5723. And Aletha, what about where you put these containers? They're just outside in a mm-hmm. yard space, or on a porch, or you have them in various locations?
My situation right now is that all my planting space is out in front of the apartment. So I don't really have the opportunity to do too much in terms of different lighting or anything like that.
And you said you have a lot of sun, a very sunny.
I do. I have a really great southern exposure. So I would like to talk about some of the drawbacks of my location, but it's really an ideal location as far as receiving sun, and it's in that particular spot seems to be fairly sheltered from the wind. But the problem that I do have is anybody with open containers, and when we get these heavy rainfalls. And so, as I told, there's a group that came by to take a look at it on the garden club ladies came to take a look at it on Saturday, and we were discussing it and kicking around some ideas of how to because I end up with some rot, or things just get so beaten down from the rain. So one of the things I'm going to try is to put like a strip of wood along the side of the house that I can maybe attach a plastic awning type, you know, just make from clear plastic or something.
On those extra heavy days.
Yeah, so that I can, don't necessarily want them always to be undercover, because it's a really fun thing to have this display of container gardens. And by the way, aesthetics are kind of important to me, so I was lucky I was able to find Rubbermaid totes that actually looked good with the house.
They match the house.
Yeah, they do.
We do have a caller. We have Beth on the line. Good morning.
Good morning. I think you just answered the question that I had, which was any kind of coverage for like this last weekend, you know, the kind of
this last weekend was quite a
yeah. And so it was pretty bad. And so yeah. I was just wondering if on a container you could do that.
Yeah, it was brutal. Actually most of the plants I have in the containers are fared pretty well anyway, but I know they would do better. They would thrive more because the soil just gets so saturated. So they just kind of struggle during times like that. So I'd rather make it a little easier on them.
Okay. I guess that was my question. And then why did you decide not to have plastic in the beginning? Was it?
Oh, for the putting on the surface of the?
Yeah.
Because we do have so much moisture, and my plants weren't under protection, and so I just didn't want my roots to rot.
Oh yeah, okay.
By having that extra, I mean, one of the reasons for having the plastic on the ground is for like a mulch and to conserve water. But in Ketchikan, I kind of kept an eye on it. I thought, oh, I might have to do some watering from the top because I'm not putting the plastic on. But we just, even during sunny times, our weather just isn't so blistering hot and dry. that that I needed to water from the top.
And then I had one more question. Do slugs have problems getting up the Tupperware or the Rubbermaid?
Well, I'm not exactly sure what... I haven't had a slug problem. Okay. Whether they have a problem getting there or not, they must, because I don't have a very high... I do have slugs that get into my other containers. I don't have much of that with these container gardens, so maybe they do have a problem with it there. I mean, it's like 16 or 18 inches of straight side plastic they have to climb up. So it definitely reduces it. But it depends on, they're sitting out on concrete out in the sun, which is different. I mean,
My containers are on concrete
out in the sun. So if I had them sitting in a grassy area or they were surrounded by other shrubs and things or other plants that had slugs, then the slugs would have easier access to them. So I think that location is pretty important.
All right. Thank you.
All right. Thanks very much for your questions, Bette. And I'm a person, I have a porch. I don't really have a yard I can use, but I do have a porch. Do you have any advice on that? And it's very sunny as well. But do I have to worry more, I guess, about watering because they're not getting water unless I give it to them, so to speak. It's a covered porch. So.
Well, that's probably a better situation. I think you should have great success with it.
They're all miniature. Let's put it that way. Everything is tiny. Yeah. Everything I'm growing. So
yeah.
No, there's something I'm doing wrong, though, because everything literally, it's tiny peas. You know, they're like, beans, like inch-long beans and...
Yeah.
2-inch carrots or, I mean, everything is just tiny, tiny and doesn't seem to be really growing well. But I don't know if it's the container situation or the soil or who knows.
That's the thing. There are a lot of factors. For example, with my containers, I didn't have a source of soil, so I bought potting soil. And I figured if I'm going to do vegetable gardening, I'm going to give them the best shot possible. So I got organic solid gold. Is that what it's called? Solid gold soil. And mixed vermiculite because that brand of potting soil tends to compact. So it wasn't cheap. These are not cheap veggies. It's my hobby and I'm intending to reuse the soil with amendments and so forth and over time. So I figured it would pay off over time. But I think the soil has a lot to do with it and also the fertilizer and the amount of space in the container and the watering. It all works together. One of the reasons I liked this and felt so successful with it is I was able to follow a tried and true program. This much soil depth. Use some good potting soil, have that reservoir so that they're pulling up. You might, because you have a covered porch, you might actually want to put the plastic over the top for a water conservation. That would help. That could help. My understanding of reasons for having that plastic covering are it acts like a mulch. It keeps down the weeds, and it also helps with pest control. And I would like to talk a little bit about some of my failure this year that I'm learning from. So in addition to learning that I should be ready with some kind of an awning or something I like aesthetics. It's right on the street. I really don't want to have an ugly garden, so I'm not going to just throw some plastic row covers over the top. You know, I don't think that would work well. So I have to put something that kind of looks good too. But the middle containers had kale and chard, celery, lettuces, and they were beautiful. I had a 4-pack of kale, and I only planted 3 in the container, and one was in a pot by itself. And after a little while, you couldn't even tell they were related. So that was what really told me. These containers make a difference. Same soil, same, you know,
but a
same
different
location, different container, different. I was having to hand water those and everything. So The ones in the container were just double the size in no time, and they continued to get huge and thrive. And so finally, when I had a spot available in the other one of my containers, I harvested a lettuce or something, and I threw that one in there, and then it proceeded to come along nicely, the same as the others. But eventually, I noticed some wilting, and this was a new experience for me. Vegetable gardening is pretty new for me anyway, and I thought maybe they were all, because it had been a wet period of weather, and so I thought maybe they were all just drowning or something because they were looking a little sickly. Turned out I had root maggots were attacking those kale plants, and they didn't bother my chard or my celery, but they wiped out all of the kale that I had. And unfortunately, I had planted kale in two containers, so I ended up with that problem in two containers, which means the soil in both of those containers is now infected, and anything that those root maggots like, any type of a plant is going to, you know, isn't going to make it.
So you mentioned there. You mentioned the soil is infected, so you have to get rid of the soil?
Mm-hmm. Well, I don't want to. I'm stubborn. I don't want to get rid. I spent a pretty penny on that soil, so I've been researching a little bit, and there are things you can do to prevent the root maggots. As I understand, the Alaska, the Cooperative Extension has it's available online, actually has a flyer.
They have great pamphlets.
They
do.
They have a pamphlet on that, and so I learned a little bit of stuff there, and then I continued to do some research. So I could have prevented it, I think. One of the things that plastic cover might have been good for is actually to have prevented that from happening, because the flies lay their eggs on the soil, and then they burrow down, and the larvae feed on the roots of the plants. So that may have been one way to prevent it. And then you can dust your plants with diatomaceous earth, and then it cuts the insects. They can't survive that, so that keeps them off. And
because it's like little razor blades to them.
Yeah, exactly. And then one of my friends uses like the back of carpet backing and just cut it into little discs, and it's flexible, so you can just cut a line on it so that you can wrap it around the base of the plant, and then that makes a nice little protection, a little shield there. Someone mentioned to me, someone from the garden club mentioned wood ash, putting that down around the base of your plant. And so those are the preventative things, but what do you do after you have them? So I did a little bit more research, and can buy a beneficial nematode that you can, it's a microscopic critter that will actually go after those larvae and destroy them. But they don't hurt vertebrates. They only hurt those kinds of critters in the soil. So they're safe for humans and cats, dogs, whatever. You don't have to worry about that, according to the literature. And so and that's what I'm doing right now. I'm in the process of finding out a good source for that, because you can only keep them for a couple weeks. They have to be refrigerated, and then they recommend treating them twice. And if anybody else in town needs some, let me know, because it's enough to treat, the smallest thing is enough to treat 1,000 square feet, which is way more than I need. So,
and I should point out, this is a call-in show. Our numbers are 225-9655, 1-800-557-5723. And actually, time is flying, and we only have a few minutes left. So if you have a question out there, please call in now so we can make sure and get to that. And, Aletha, you were saying squashes grow well. You've had success with certain plants. What have you found vegetable-wise, is you haven't had success in containers? Are there certain vegetables you really just shouldn't, have you found like you shouldn't try, or can you really try anything?
I think that I would try anything now. I hesitated to take up the space with peppers, tomatoes, cucumbers, because of them, because the plants are out in the weather. My plants are out in the weather. However, now that I'm thinking about doing the little awning trick, you know, their windows are kind of at different heights on the front of my place, and so I can see myself having a higher awning and growing some of those that would, like cucumbers can get very tall, and tomatoes depending on the type. And so I think I would try that with the protection of the awning. Now, the other good thing about the container gardening is it warms the soil, and that's another reason why raised beds are preferred in Ketchikan, is because that keeps the soil warm. When you plant directly at ground level, everything is cooler. So we'd have an advantage in those containers with the, especially if you've got a southern exposure like I do. But and if you go online and you look, that is one of the crops that you see a lot. Those two crops, peppers and tomatoes, you see a lot of those in these do-it-yourself or even the actual brand Earthbox. You'll see those are the examples people do all the time. So I think you're mostly limited by the amount of rainfall, your sun exposure, and of course you just always need to pay attention to your soil.
What do you do in the winter to, you know, I guess winterize your container garden? That's very different because I'm imagine in a smaller container the soil is going to get really cold. Do you have to bring them indoors or can you leave them out and cover them, or what do you do?
Well, it actually depends on the container, because if you leave it with soil in it and it's sitting outside and it's wet, then the freezing and the thawing and can actually break a clay pot. So in these Rubbermaid containers, this is my first time using them. I'm thinking that what I'll want to do is drain the excess water out of the containers. And I might try to stash them, but I'll tell you, they're really heavy, and I'm going to save that soil. So
probably just cover it? Or
I think so, to keep them from, once I clean them out and if I cover them to keep water from getting into them, then I think they should be fine.
So would you leave the soil in there? You would leave the soil in, correct? And just kind of cover it with something?
Yeah, I can. My concern is that you need to sort of rotate your crops or freshen your soil, and those are kinds of things I'm actually going to be talking to some local people about. Try to learn a little bit more about that myself.
Okay. We may have a call here, and if so, this will have to be our last call. We're actually heading up to the top of the hour, and we'll head over, we'll cover over headline news. So we'll take a moment here, see if that call is for us. And I guess there's just so much information out there. It sounds like you did a lot of research online just to track down what might be the best way to do things.
Yes, and I talked to local people, of course. We have many successful and very helpful gardeners, and the farmers market has been also a great place to
a lot of people who are growing vegetables out there.
That's right.
Okay, we do have one last caller, and I didn't get the name of the person, but hello to you, and what is your question or comment?
I was just going to tell Aletha that what I do with my container soil over the winter is I bought a 30-whatever-gallon garbage can with, you know, one of those covers that closes real tightly, and in the fall, I empty my boxes of soil into that garbage can, and it's dark, it's black, and so it's almost like it composts a little bit over the winter while I'm storing it and keeping it from getting waterlogged.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. And actually, that will do it. Do you have any last thoughts, Aletha, that you want to share?
No, I just want to encourage people to talk to local gardeners and just keep trying it. Don't be discouraged. Ask around and get some help.
Okay. Thank you very much. Thanks so much to Aletha Johnson for coming in and speaking about container gardening. I think we could do a series on this, probably. Now we're going to head over to some announcements, Writer's Almanac, and then coming up will be Fresh Air.